Viruses, bacteria, worms, fungi, these are all microbes that cause infectious diseases. Some live deep in the Amazon, some live in chimps, some live in cows. They all have the ability to infect humans. David Quammen wrote the book Spillover, Animal Infections and the Next Human Pandemic, about how infectious diseases spill from animals to humans and how we study it.
The fact is that these things, viruses have an ecology, and that means where do they live? How do they pass from one place to another? How do they make a living? So it's viral ecology that describes when a virus passes from a chimpanzee into a human and colonizes a new kind of host. And then it's evolutionary biology that describes how that virus adapts to being in a new host and discovers that it can succeed there wonderfully and pass onward through millions of individuals of this new host.
So one of the things you write about is as you talked about, you talk about how AIDS came to be.
Yeah.
You know, and there was, at one point, there was, and you dispel this myth, there was this idea, it was one guy, Randy Schultz wrote about it, other people said, there's patient zero, he brought AIDS over. Before that, it was, you know.
Yeah, Canadian airline steward named Gaetan Tuga in the early 80s, late 70s and early 80s. And Randy Schultz referred to him as patient zero. He had been referred to before that in some of the medical literature as patient Arabic zero, patient O. And Randy Schultz, who wrote a wonderful book on this whole, an important book on this whole subject, essentially made him patient zero with a Z, which seemed a little bit more dark and nihilistic.
Yeah.
But this guy wasn't patient zero. This guy was patient, 461,220.
But one of the things that you tell us about is that our understanding of AIDS has evolved. We've learned a lot. And there are many strains of AIDS across the planet, but that one in particular seems to have become the most virulent.
One particular strain of the HIV virus accounts for like 98% of the AIDS cases around the world.
Where did it come from?
It came from that chimpanzee that I mentioned. It came from a single chimpanzee in southeastern Cameroon about 100 years ago, possibly more.
But why is it? But if it was just one chimp to one human contact, it should have disappeared. How did it become so virulent and spread?
Bad luck and adaptation. We know that there have been 12 spillovers of the monkey and chimp precursor of HIV. 12 independent spillovers that we know of. This is, again, known from molecular genetics. And of those 12 that we know of, only one of them became the pandemic strain of AIDS causing HIV around the world. The other 11 have been relatively unimportant. Some of them have been complete dead ends. Some of them have simmered along in West Africa. So the fact that there were 12 that we know of suggests that there probably were many more that we don't know of, that this kind of a simian virus, they call it simian immunodeficiency virus, has been spilling over into humans probably in Central Africa for a long time. But in this one particular case, everything went wrong for us and everything went right for the virus. And it adapted. It hung on during a period of decades when it wasn't spreading very quickly, but it was replicating in humans. It was just succeeding barely enough. And then it finally got out of southeastern Cameroon, presumably by going down the Sanga River to the Congo River, and got into the big cities, got into Brazzaville, got into what was Leopoldville in the Belgian Congo.
And this is probably the 30s?
Roughly, yeah. We don't know exactly when, but we know it was there by the late 50s because we have two archived tissue samples from people who turn out to have been HIV positive in 1959 and 1960 in the city that is now Kinshasa, used to be Leopoldville. So we know that it was there by then. And then it spread from there to Haiti. How did that happen? Well, there were a lot of Haitian professionals who had come over to help out the newly independent Congo.
Because they spoke French and all the other trained. There weren't a lot of trained Congolese because the Belgians did not train.
The Belgians did not train. Essentially, they did not educate Congolese to become the professional middle class. So when the Belgians went home, when the Congolese drove them out, they took all the sort of mid-level professional skills with them. Congo got help from Haiti. Haitian professionals came over. They had sexual relationships. they picked up this virus. Then they went home in the mid-60s because Mobutu essentially threw them out, and they took the virus with them.
And, of course, that's not the only way the disease was transmitted, through sexual relations.
Right.
It had the other vectors we know about now, including intravenous drug use and
needles.
And needles. And vaccination. And one of the bad luck scenarios that you talked about, I just want to get to, there's much more in this book, but I want to get to that, is a Belgian doctor's, and the system of vaccination and how it might have affected or spread disease.
That's right. In the 1920s, 1930s, the old French Congo and Belgian Congo, there were vaccination campaigns against malaria, against a disease called yaws, against a couple of other diseases. And there were doctors running around vaccinating people by the tens of thousands, but they had only very few syringes and very few needles. This part of the story was essentially teased out by a physician and AIDS worker named Jacques Pepin, who wrote a book that hasn't gotten much attention, but tells this story with a great deal of digging in the old Belgian archives, in the French Congo archives. And he found that there were doctors running around that maybe had six syringes that they used and reused on thousands of people.
They had a technique for sterilizing people,
rinse it in distilled water. Yeah. That was generally what, at best, what was done. Maybe they put a little bit of bleach through it. If they did that, it might have been sufficient, because bleach does kill virus. But in most cases, it was distilled water. So presumably, that was something that boosted the replication of the virus during the early decades. It's circumstantial evidence, but it's very persuasive.
It's it also takes us to the myths that have arisen around how AIDS arose, including, it came deliberately from people vaccinating other people to give them AIDS. I mean, there's all these myths.
Right. There was that story that it came from a polio vaccine, an oral polio vaccine that had been developed using chimpanzee liver cells. There's a fellow named Edward Hooper, who published a book called The River some years ago.
I'm amazed you were able to bring that all
into your brain. Arguing this. But the problem with that is that we now know that AIDS was in people long before those vaccination campaigns took place. So that hypothesis has been shot down.
Talk about a crazy unintended consequence. People trying to promote health also carrying this virus along.
Absolutely.
That's the density of our population.
And then there were the blood banks, the plasma banks, including one in Haiti, where they were paying people to get their blood drawn for plasma. And then that plasma was being exported by the plane load to the U.S. This would have been, I think, the early and mid-70s.
You talked to somebody who was unloading those planes?
I talked to a fellow who... I talked to the scientist who did some of this work, and he had published on this, and then he heard from a fellow, I can't remember, I think it was an anonymous source, but somebody who said, yeah, I was in Miami at that point working at the airport, and we had plasma coming in from Haiti, just containers of it, plane loads of blood plasma coming in from Haiti right at the point when the Haitian population was beginning to be riddled with this virus.
And we just didn't have the techniques or the know-how or the understanding that it needed to be screened in particular ways.
Right. And you can't screen for a virus unless you have identified that virus, unless you know it's there. And we didn't know it was there. So they might have been screening the blood plasma for other things, but they weren't looking for HIV, so they didn't find it.
I mean, don't these stories make you wonder about, there's the medical jargon, there's do no harm, but there's also proceed with caution. And it's not just medicine, right? It's GMOs. It's all the ways we are engaged our environment.
Yeah, you use the phrase unintended consequences. When you start sticking needles into people, maybe some unintended consequences. I don't want to sound like I'm an anti-vaccination guy, because there's a lot of that going around, and I'm not. It's very important that we get vaccinations. But still, there are unintended consequences of medical treatment sometimes.
Well, the AIDS story alone is a pretty amazing and harrowing story, because you follow a lot of these scientists. I mean, these are the people who are telling a story and bringing us further along in our understanding. And some of these folks are... Some of them risking their lives, and some of them have suffered for their efforts.
Yeah, there's some amazing heroic people out there doing the field work. Some of it is field biology or field disease ecology. They're looking for the reservoir hosts of these various diseases. For instance, Ebola. We still don't know what the reservoir host of Ebola virus is with certainty. It is suspected to be a bat, but they have yet to find live virus inside a single bat. It's one of the big medical mysteries in disease ecology. What is the reservoir host of Ebola? And I followed some of the people who are out there trying to answer that question, trapping bats, taking blood samples, trying to tranquilize dart gorillas to take blood samples from them. There are some amazing people with combinations of veterinary skills, public health skills, and ecology training that are doing this work in the field.
David Quammen talking about his book, Spillover, Animal Infections and the Next Human Pandemic. This is The Record from KUOW with David Hyde. I'm Steve Scherr.